These words that we just heard from our Lord in today's Gospel come from the Last Supper, which is a very beautiful passage in which truly his words are fulfilled that we heard him say, "I have called you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father." This Last Supper discourse is a kind of last will and testament of Jesus to his apostles and to us as he prepares to enter into his paschal mystery, his death and resurrection. And three words in particular seem so prominent to me in this section of that Last Supper discourse. The words commandments, love, and joy. Commandments, love, and joy. It's not hard to get on board with love and joy. We easily recognize in ourselves this desire to experience love and joy in our lives. But why does Jesus have to go adding commandments into the mix? That's a much less positive and attractive word often to us. Modernity has trained us to think of commandments as burdensome and restrictive. We're told that we should be independent, that we don't need rules, that we should be free to decide for ourselves how to live our lives. And yet, here Jesus is speaking about commandments. It's quite clear that Christ thinks in a very different way from our modern world. In the mind of Christ, commandments are not obstacles to experiencing love and joy. In fact, if we listen closely to these words of the gospel, he holds to just the opposite, that we can only know love and joy in their fullness by keeping his commandments. "If you keep my commandments," he says, "you will remain in my love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete." Clearly, we need to rethink what modernity tells us about commandments. In the Magnificat for today, there's a beautiful meditation from Cardinal Ratzinger, the future Pope Benedict, in which he speaks about this kind of rethinking, this reorienting, this revolution of mind and heart. And I want to share with you a little passage from that. He writes this: "Through faith, we must all learn a kind of Copernican revolution. Copernicus discovered that it was not the sun that went around the earth, but that this earth, along with the other planets, revolved around the sun. We all begin by seeing ourselves as a tiny earth around which all the suns must turn. Faith teaches us to leave this error and to behave like brothers and sisters, joining together with all the others in the dance of love around the one center that is God." Beautiful image. The commandments are this call to make God and not myself the center of my life, to revolve my whole life around him, rather than thinking everything else revolves around me. The commandments call me not to follow my own selfish whims, but to be guided by the one who made me, who knows me even better than I know myself. The commandments teach us what true love looks like. That's why Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love." The commandments of God are this call out of ourselves, this call to make a gift of our lives. They remind us that we can only know true love by giving ourselves away to God, first of all, by practicing our faith, meeting him especially in the sacraments, seeking him daily in prayer, making that gift of ourselves to the one who made us out of love and for love. And then also the commandments teach us how we are to make a gift of ourselves to one another. That gift of ourselves, which takes many forms, through our good deeds and works of mercy, through our living of the virtues like chastity and humility, even through our support of our needy brothers and sisters, through our generosity, through things like the annual Catholic Appeal going on right now, or other forms of charitable giving in our lives. The commandments call us out of ourselves to this revolution of mind and heart. And here's the amazing thing, the paradoxical thing to our modern minds, that it's only in spending ourselves for others in love, it's only in keeping the commandments of God that show us what true love looks like, that we can ever really experience the kind of deep, abiding joy for which we long. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. Jesus doesn't impose the commandments of God on us as a burden, as a slave driver, as a hard master. He gives us the commandments as a gift. Apart from God, we might experience all kinds of pleasure in life. We might even taste real joy here and there. But if we want complete joy, I've told you this, that your joy might be complete. It's only by looking to Christ, by listening to him, and keeping his commandments. It's only by living lives that revolve not around ourselves, but around God. We just begun, of course, the month of May. Every year, the church encourages us during this month to turn with greater love and devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Our Lady has acquired so many titles and honors over the years. Many of them are summarized and listed in the Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary. One of my favorites, which came to mind as I pondered today's gospel, is Cause of Our Joy. I love that. Mary is the cause of our joy. Why? I think there's a lot of reasons. Just her beauty is the cause of joy. When we look upon her, when we see her pure, immaculate heart, when we see that beauty that is something much deeper than just physical beauty, but the radiance of virtue, our hearts are filled with joy. And then there's her yes. Her yes led to the incarnation of God in her womb. And ultimately, her yes led to our salvation when her son died for us on the cross. Because of her yes, we have hope of eternal life. She is the cause of our joy. And we can think of her in light of today's gospel. No one kept the commandments of God more perfectly than our Blessed Mother. And this gives us hope. Because Mary's life tells us that it is possible for a mere creature, for that is what she is, to keep the commandments of God and thus to experience the complete joy that the commandments can bring us. She is the cause of our joy by her beautiful example of life. Now, Our Lady would be the first one to tell us that keeping God's commandments is not always easy. It comes with a cost. Her yes meant she had to suffer the ridicule of being found with child before she and her husband had begun living together. She had to give birth to her son in a stable, and shortly after flee to Egypt because a bloodthirsty king was seeking that son's life. She had to watch as her son was misunderstood, ridiculed, and eventually nailed to a cross. Keeping God's commandments comes with a cost. But she would also be the first to tell us that it's worth the cost. She would tell us that now, especially from her place of perfect love and joy in the glory of heaven. So let us today turn to our Blessed Mother as we enter into these May days. And throughout this month, let us turn to her again and again, she who is the cause of our joy. Let's ask her to help us with her prayers to live that Copernican revolution that helps us make our lives little earths that revolve around the true Son, who is her Son. Today, perhaps, consider as you come here to Holy Mass, what is one of the commandments of our Lord and his church that you struggle to keep in your life, that you find it difficult to live? Bring that to our Lord here and turn to our Blessed Mother. May we learn from her how to convert our bitterness about God's commandments into gratitude for them as the source of that true love and complete joy for which our hearts long. Blessed Mary, Mother of God, cause of our joy, pray for us. St. Patrick, pray for us.